Amen. Lord, will you open our hearts and ears to hear what our sister has brought? We thank you, Lord, for the variety of your creation. We thank you, Lord, that all creation speaks. We walk out these doors that the sun is speaking. You created it. Rain speaks as it hits the ground. But you've given Jeanette your words to be able to share with us today, Lord, that we would hear and listen to them. In Jesus' name, amen.
I had to make sure I'm pushing the right button. Technology is wonderful until it doesn't work. Or you have operator error. So, just real quick, this is kind of a continuation of last week. So I'm going to let Mark pull out one of our props from last week. So if you would stand up, hold it up, let him see it. Just a reminder, we remember what we talked about last week, right? Or do we not? I'm not hearing you. We talked about covenant, right? And how this, for example, is more than just a piece of cloth, right? It stands for something. Amen? Because, you know, I can drop a rag on the ground, but heaven help me, I drop that. I think Mark might beat me up or something. So, okay. So, just a reminder. Okay, we're still kind of talking about covenant. So, I want to make sure you remember. We talked about covenant last week and how important it is to grasp and understand. You know, we use things for symbols and whatnot, but it's way beyond the item itself. It's what it stands for. So I titled this in honor of a dear pastor friend many, 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 I hate to say many, years ago. He did a sermon titled Leaving, Cleaving, and Becoming One. And his was talking about dating and marriage and that. And this is similar, but not. Because what we're going to talk about, now that we've established covenant, is the leaving, cleaving, and becoming one that you and I should be doing as the bride of Christ, as the church. There is still part of this process. Marriage is used over and over. But let's go back to the first mention of this, Genesis 2:24. You see it right there. Therefore, shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. How many of us have heard this, like you go to a wedding or, you know, some kind of marriage seminar or something? Yeah, we're familiar somewhat with the concept. But think about this. You and I are described as the bride of Christ. And we, as part of the church, as part of that bride, we go through the same process whether you realize it or not. So let's do a little background here. That word leave is pretty much what you think, to loosen, to relinquish, to forsake, to refuse, or to leave. To cleave is a primitive root to cling or to adhere, to cleave fast together. And we're going to talk a little more about these. And then to be one flesh or to become one. And it literally, it's like one. It's like the numeral, one. This is actually mentioned several times. Jesus quoted this verse. It's also mentioned in Mark 10:7. It's not going to be up there. Ephesians 5:31. So it's mentioned, anytime Scripture mentions something more than once, it's important. Anytime you ever have to repeat something to somebody more than one time, why do you repeat it? You want to make sure they get it, right? So This is repeated more than once. But let's talk about this. Leaving. That's the first thing. When you and I get married, let's say I'll use Mark and I as an example. When I got married, there were things that I stopped, that I left behind. There was a change. I was so excited. We got married, and then I got to go down, and you know, I had to get a new Social Security card because I had a name change. And I was so excited about it. It was like, woo, you know. Well, you have a name change. When you got saved, you became a what? A spouse, a Christian, right? You had a name change. And when he and I got married, there was a name change, and then there was some behaviors that changed. I didn't look at guys the same way anymore. Not to be crude, but, you know, things changed, okay? I wasn't looking at some guy going, woo, you know. No. Because my focus now was on him. And when I look at him, it's like, woo. But things changed. When you and I, when we get saved, Scripture says there is a transformation that happens. Our thinking changes. Our thoughts even change. And actions should back up what is happening on the inside. Amen? Amen. I see it. So, that's part of that leaving. There is a transformation. There is a change. When I got married, I took a new name. Not because I hated the old one necessarily, but there was a change. Something happened. Something changed. I entered into a covenant. There's the word. I entered into covenant with my husband. When you get saved, you enter into covenant with God. And we talked about that last week, so this is kind of a continuation. And if I could, I know that sounds weird, but here's a little warning for you. Remember Lot's wife. She was being saved from destruction. The angels were taking them out. What happened? She looked back. And if you can go into that if you'd like on your own. But it's more than just, she didn't just look over her shoulder. She was looking back more with the, like, longing. Like, I want to go back. I want to. And what happened to her? She turned into a pillar of salt. She was being saved from the destruction that was happening. But she looked back. Don't look back. Cleaving. Oh, sorry, one more quote. And this is not my original. I will tell you that. I can't take credit for it, but I thought it was really good. Deliverance will get you out of Egypt, but discipleship gets Egypt out of you. It is not enough just to break free of something. You need to be transformed, Scripture says. There is a transformation. There is a change that takes place. And like I said, that's not my original quote, but I'm using it. And then the cleaving. Cleaving, how many of you, I know I've run into this on my place, with all the rain and the wet and everything we've had, how many of you are having to deal with the mud? Yeah, and doesn't that thing, it just sticks. It's like you try to brush it off and it's just like it's clinging. And you've got to really wipe or scrape or something to get. So this is that same concept with the cleaving. It's a coming together. It's a tight. And when you first get married, you have that whole day, newlywed stage, And you're working on that because there's a reason why we have kind of that honeymoon stage, as I call it. Because you're learning to cleave. You're learning to work together, to come together on things. And it's unfortunate, but too often that stage kind of passes and then other stages come into play. But it doesn't have to. And you know, when we first get saved, you have that excitement and you have that, I just want to go out and I want to tell everybody what happened. And, you know, you're stopping people on the street saying, let me tell you, I met Jesus, you know. It's like that honeymoon stage. But there's a cleaving that needs to happen because after a while, the emotions will kind of steady out. You'll have your first disagreement. You know, something you don't understand. Something. And if we're honest with ourselves in our walk with the Lord, sometimes things happen, things come up, and we're going, what are you doing, Lord? What is this? Why is this happening to me? If we're honest, okay, whether you admit it or not, you've probably done it. I have too. But that cleaving is what's going to get you through that. Because I don't always understand Mark. I mean, I'm sorry, but sometimes, it's both ways, I'll admit that. He'll say something or he'll do something and I'm like, what are you doing? Why did you do that? Why did you say that? Whatever. But I don't have to necessarily understand everything. Why? Because there's a trust factor that has now come into play because I've been cleaving. Marriage is hard work. Amen? Okay? You could be married to the most saintly spouse ever. It's still hard work. It's still hard work. But when we run into a situation, that cleaving, that building on that relationship, see, we laid a foundation with the establishment of a covenant. It's the same thing with the Lord. When we first get saved, we may not know much more than John 3:16. But that's enough. But we don't stay there. There's growth. There's more to learn, more that comes into play. And after a while, see, we're stuck like glue. If you've ever seen the movie Fireproof, and the guy, he's trying to show an example to the other fireman, and he glues the salt and pepper together. Anybody see that? Well, anyway, he takes the salt and pepper shakers off the table, and he glues them together. He's trying to make a point to the guy he's talking to, the other firefighter, that this is what marriage is supposed to be like. You're just bonded, just like super glue kind of thing. So that's cleaving. And it's the same thing with the Lord. As we get to know him, as that relationship begins to flow, the river he was talking about begins to flow, that cleaving takes place. And you become, you're tight. You know, you talk about your friend, hey man, we're tight. We use this symbol for that. There's a reason why. And that last one, becoming one. Becoming one. You know, you have to understand something though, that society as a whole has given us a rather twisted view of what a marriage should look like. The stuff you see on the TV in Hollywood, don't go there. Ha, don't go there. Becoming one. When you get a guitar, and those of you who are magicians will relate to this, every once in a while the strings break, or they, you know, get old, they stretch or whatever, and you have to put new strings on that instrument. And then what do you spend a lot of time doing after you have to do that? Tuning, right? Because they're new. So there's lots of tuning and lots of tuning and lots of tuning, and you have to keep working at it. It's work. Same with marriage. It's like new strings. There's work. There's, after a while, you know, things that gets into play, it stays in tune, everything's good. But it takes time and effort. But then there's that becoming one. And once again, using him and I, he's a good sermon prop. I'll use him. We can be watching TV show, sit on the couch, watching whatever it is, and whether it's the something in the show or commercial or something, something will come on, and it will hit us. And we'll look at each other, and we'll just laugh or we'll smile, but I know exactly what he's thinking. And he knows exactly what I'm thinking when we do that. Because we have become, for all intents and purposes, one. I can tell you, you know, if you come to me and say, well, you know, I think, you know, Pastor Mark should wear purple or something, whatever. You know? I'm just picking something, guys. But I will know whether he would be willing to do that or if he would like that color or what. Because I know him. I know him. Same thing. If you go to him as, well, sisters, she should do this. He will know how I would respond to that. So here's your pop quiz for the day, if you will. When something comes up in your life, have you become so one with the Lord that you know what Jesus would do in that situation? How he would respond to whatever's being said? How he would react to whatever's being done? Most of us would have to go, oh my. See, it used to be popular a while back. What would Jesus do? You know, they had the bracelets and, you know, the initials and all that. I think in some ways, you know, we need to kind of get back to that. Because if I say I'm a Christian, I have covenant. There should be some cleaving. There should be some growth. There should be some back and forth between me and the Lord, just like there was between me and Mark. I had to learn what kind of foods he liked. And what he didn't like. Things of that nature that just kind of come with being married and sharing a relationship, sharing a space and whatnot. But that becoming one. Becoming one. That means that I understand the nature and the character of the God that I am in covenant with. And when you know, Mark should wear a purple shirt. Well, maybe. That's the color of royalty, but, you know, and we'd go from there. How much more important is it when we're not talking about shirts, but we're talking about life stuff? Should I do this thing over here, or should I not? Well, have you checked? Ask him. He'll tell you. And then you can confirm it if you need to. See, too often we get the first two parts usually pretty well, but we forget that last one. And it's so important. It is so important. Isaiah 62, 1 through 5. And I want to close with this. She's got it. For Zion's sake, will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name. We talked about a name change. Which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate. But thou shalt be called Hezbollah, and thy land Beulah. For the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as a bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. God has chosen us. You are so precious in his sight. There just aren't words to describe that. When I look at Mark, I can't always tell you the feel. It's there. But it's beyond words. It truly is. How much more the God of the universe, when he looks at you and I, has that. Amen. So as the prayer team would come on up, Dan's already extended an invitation. If you do not have that covenant, man, I encourage you, come down and get it. Have someone pray with you for it. Or if you just need to work on that cleaving together, man, I just want to be able to hear God's voice better. I just want to get to know him better. And that becoming one. God is so good. He is so good. Amen.